Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich at 8:20. We announce our finalists for Townie Jeopardy, and that's brought to you by Townline Luxury Lanes in Malden. 48 luxury lanes with plush lounge style seating and 15 billiard tables. TownlineLuxuryLanes.com. All right, Rich. So it's no secret the Cleveland Browns suck. Hugh Jackson has not done much. They are the focus of Hard Knocks this season on HBO, and this is what is happening here?
Well, I compared this season of Hard Knocks, or at least the first episode, to watching The Office. It's a bunch of people looking at the person who's running things and going, what an idiot, and nobody respects who this guy is. I mean, Hugh Jackson is Michael Scott, and it goes from the players, nobody's respecting him. He has these weak conversations with players and then walks away mid-conversation. When things aren't going well and practices aren't physical, you just see him kind of scratching his head and talk to himself saying, not very good, this isn't very good. And then when it's time to sit down with his coaches, now you got to think, if you're one of the coaches, the assistant coaches for the Cleveland Browns, you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, Hugh Jackson has won one game in the past two seasons. So A, he obviously doesn't know what he's doing. And B, I might take his job soon. So these guys are sitting there thinking that maybe, just maybe, in the middle of the season, if I show that I know what I'm doing and this guy's an idiot and I can kind of show him up, maybe I'll be the one who gets past the torch.
I'm just wondering what the interview process was like a couple of years ago. What did Hugh Jackson say to Jimmy Haslam that convinced him to hire him?
John, I hope you don't go to jail. I love going to the Flying J.
Right, the Flying J is a great place to go.
But I mean, you know,
I love Knoxville.
They have all the best glory holes in the
building. Yeah, well, I was just saying, okay, well, that's true. Jimmy Haslam is not a captain of industry, but still, I mean, you're hiring a football coach for a franchise that has been horrible for so long. I mean, he comes across as mealy mouthed and weak and unassertive. What could he have said to get himself this job?
Jimmy Haslam has no interest in the Cleveland Browns.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't need them. He's got plenty of money.
So here is Hugh Jackson at his coaches' meeting, and two of his assistant coaches are voicing their concerns on how Hugh is running things. Now, once again, the entire episode, except for the Jarvis Landry highlight reel, has been no one's trying. You've even got a Baker Mayfield who's not showing up early. Tyrod Taylor's trying. They make a point out of that. You know, Baker Mayfield's not showing up early. No one's hitting hard in the padded practices. There's apparently players who are sitting out saying they have injuries that are somewhat questionable. So here's Hugh Jackson at the coaches meeting, and two of his assistant coaches start saying, hey, we're not a big fan of how things are going. The first voice you hear is Freddie Kitchens, the running backs coach. And the second voice that you're going to hear that's not Hughes is Todd Haley, which, of course, has got a little bit of a track record. So yeah. let's get to the clip. This is the coaches' meeting.
When we talked about these people missing practice, I think it would help if, all right, I'm fine if Joe thinks that they need to take the day off. But can he be dressed and just put it on me that he won't get any reps?
Well, I think for the new coaches here, we're not taking guys out because they're special or anything like that. We're taking them out for preventative measures.
Yeah.
And normally the team has understood that.
Yeah, well, I understand there's a rhyme and reason for doing it.
Guys, this is all for preventative measures. Nobody's trying to take anybody out and have that problem.
I have an opinion on it, and we need to get so much done, you know, and I know I said that to you and we joke about it, but if we live in our fears, I mean, our team has to get mentally tougher and be able to fight through the that we got to fight through. We got to change this drastically. And if we got guys that haven't done sitting around doing nothing, you know, I just don't know how we're going to do it.
Well, I respect you saying that. I mean, I used to sit in the same chair.
Joe,
let me finish. Let me finish. I used to sit in the same chair as you guys sat in. And I used to feel the same way. I just want to kill them. Okay, until all of a sudden I sat in this chair and then they're not there and you don't get them to practice and you can't get them through and then you don't have them for 3 weeks. And I'm not living in my fears. That's real. And I think we all can appreciate that. Anything else? Speak now, MOUP. Get it out.
All that being said, on a positive, and we got a long way to go. But that being said, we're making progress. There's enough positive in my experience that I'm encouraged.
That's good. Guys, listen, I'm excited about what you're doing. I'm going to say it again, but the chair I sit in, a little different than the chair you guys sit in. I get to watch from a different lens, okay? And I think you guys can all respect that. At the end of the day, I get to drive this bus, and I'm going to get it the way I want it. That's period. That's just how it works, okay? Al taught me a long time ago. You know, what is it, Al? Give it to me.
It's your team. You do whatever the hell you want.
It's your team. You do whatever the hell you want. Okay, so this one's mine. So that's just the way it's going to be. And that is of respect of everybody in this room. But this is how we do it.
I mean, how do you talk to people that way? Sorry, man, whatever you're saying, it's my team. I get to do what I want. You're like the kid with the ball at the playground. That's my ball. We get to do whatever. But I get to pick the rules or I'm going to go home with my ball. How does anybody, and you could see it on Haley's face and all the other coaches while he's saying all this stuff, just like shaking their heads, like going, I can't believe we have to sit and listen to this guy and take orders from a guy who has not won anything, who's the worst coach in the NFL. And they're just sitting there shaking their heads. So it's...
See, I didn't see the visual of it, but if I'm the head coach and I'm taking suggestions from everyone on how to run my team, makes me look worse, doesn't it?
Well, there's
again,
a way to handle it.
I didn't see the visual, so maybe it's different.
There's a way to handle it and not say, well, this is my team and I get to do what I want.
Well, I mean, look, if Bill Parcells said that or Bill Belichick said that, you'd have a different reaction.
Okay.
I don't think it's the fact that he says this. What you're telling me makes the difference is stuff I didn't see.
I don't think Bill Belichick would say that.
Well, if anyone dared to challenge him, that's what he would say. If anyone challenged Parcells, that's what he'd say. This is my effing franchise. You know, if you think you're so good, go get your own. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially, in a nice way, that's what he was saying.
And by the way, I like what Ben on line one said. He's saying that the coach sounds like the Fonz from The Waterboy, Henry Winkler, the coach. He's just like spineless to everyone around him, all the players. Like, no one respects the guy, and it's fascinating to see. And the Baker Mayfield stuff is interesting because you did kind of get to see the first, you know, sight that he might not be 100% invested. Like he's not showing up on time. He's sure. A little bit late. I mean, it's the first week of practice, and he's showing up late.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson has surrounded himself with guys that maybe haven't won Super Bowls. I mean, Todd Haley... Say what you want about him. He was a better head coach than Hugh Jackson is.
Right.
Greg Williams, a defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So Greg Williams has his own checkered past, but still won a Super Bowl. Wasn't he the defensive coordinator of that Super Bowl team? I'm trying to remember. I'm probably wrong about that. But the point is he had some modicum of success in New Orleans. John Dorsey's the GM for Kansas City. How good has Kansas City been all these years? I mean, he's surrounded himself with guys that are better than him, so I can see, you know, why these guys might be a little angry at him.
Yeah. All right. Who is the guy from Magic Mike, Joe? Because I want to test you, Rich.
Well, real quick, before you do that, Fred, okay. I have to get to something because it's been on my mind. You know how we've been talking about Ray Lewis and Ray Lewis,
yes,
and all this stuff. Do you have the first clip that we have where he was just going off about numbers?
Yes.
Okay, can you just play a little bit of that? Because there's something that I've been thinking about with this clip all day yesterday.
When God tells you something, believe him. Listen to me. No matter the journey, it's too many ups and downs. But boy, when you believe him, 5-15-75. Remember 5 and remember 7, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message. 5-15-75, my mother had me. We had no other route out. Because that woman right there, 5-15-75. You hear me? Yeah. Crazy, right? Tell you about numbers, 5-15-75, right?
It's crazy that you were born.
It's crazy.
On 5-15-75. It's nuts.
It's absolutely insane.
The world works in mysterious ways, Mr. Lewis. I mean, you could have been born on 4-16-78, and then all hell would have broken loose.
Right. But then he like tried to take those numbers and mix them with other numbers.
Right. So this is his explanation for how crazy it is.
Mm-hmm.
That he was born on 5-15-75.
Right.
I played 17 years. I go to the University of Miami, right? And I signed one of the last scholarships ever given. And the coach asked me, Randy Shannon asked me, what was the number you wanted? He said, the last numbers we got is these numbers. And I looked and those numbers was 5 and 2. And I said, give me that 52. He said, why you like 52? I said, because, B-Dog, that's God's number. That's completion.
Of course it is. I made that conclusion way before you did.
Yeah, 777. That's God's number.
Right. I mean,
527.
I just like, we got a 5 and a 2. I'll take the 52.
Well, I could have. 25, no.
Not quite how it works.
No, I will not take 25. 52 minus 7, subtract the 4, you get 20.
I played 17 years. I leave 17 years. I go play in Super Bowl 47. I get inducted to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl 52. Man, God, something else.
That is true. If there's ever been proof of a superpower, heavenly power, it is in the life of Ray Lewis. Mm-hmm. Now, what has been tickling your brain?
There's just been something over the last, like, 24 hours that has just been stuck in my head, and I'm sorry, just indulge me. And I know this is something that I just I couldn't get out of my head. So this morning I had to actually make this a reality.
Daddy, I got numbers. You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change. Daddy, don't change your numbers. 5, 15, 5, 7, and 5. 5, 15, 5, 7, and 5.
Crazy, right?
5, 15, 5, 7, and 5.
That's God's number.
5, 15, 5, 7, and 5. That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
All right. See? Who knew?
Thank you for sharing that.
Who knew?
5, 15, 5, 7, and 5.
It all makes sense now.
Oh, man.
It was a phone number he found on the bathroom wall.
I was just walking around my house. And I just had it in my head. Yeah. I got numbers. You can play with numbers, but some numbers you can never change. Numbers. 5, 15, 5, 7, and 5. 5, 15, 5, 7, and 5.
Crazy, right? That's going to be in everyone's head.
5, 7, and 5.
That's God's number.
5, 15, 5, 7, and 5. That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
I wonder how many atheists just went and watched that and went, you know what? No. I've been down a primrose path this whole time. Now that you bring numerology into it, and
well, I mean,
there's a caller that called in yesterday and made sense of what he was saying. I mean, it was a very long way to go.
I would like to hear that once again.
I mean, it was. I mean, listen, the guy figured it out in his car. He's far more gifted than us.
Well, right. Those atheists, maybe they just need to turn to the Bible. You know,
now the Bible made me who I am today. Ephesians 3 of verse 20.
Yeah. He's going to run a mega church for idiots. That's exactly what he's going to do. Everyone's going to have a stupid dunce cap on, and they're going to walk into his mega church.
And he's going to say,
you don't have to make your subs in verb agree to serve.
You don't have to make your subs all verberating. Them subs don't have to verberate. Don't worry about verberating your subs. Just make it normal.
Crazy, right?
It's crazy. Don't verberate no sub. That sub is fine the way it is. Lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise. You make it like that. Whatever you put, 3 slices of tomato, 1 ounce of mayonnaise,
numbers.
2 handful of lettuce. What does that add up to? 75.
5, 15, 75.
That's right. Well, Ray Lewis, you are truly stupid. But when we come back, we will talk about the Townie Jeopardy, money on the line tomorrow, and we will announce our final.
Is your skin 90% covered in Boston sports tattoos?
I was watching a game, and I said, I want my head to look like Tom Brady's helmet.
Do you still brag about that one time you saw Wahlberg?
I met Matt Damon and Ben Affleck at the corner store in Hanover.
Do you fail to remove the cigarette from your mouth?
Oh, my cigarette.
Before telling someone to kiss your ass?
Found a cigarette.
Then how would you like $1,000 to buy all the scally caps and scratch tickets you want?
Hey, you
want
to come to Marymount Park?
It's Touch Your Rich's Ultimate Townie Contest.
Woo!
think you're the ultimate townie, tweet a video to @TutcherAndRich, hashtag Ultimate Townie Contest.
How do you know about Red Bay Yankee?
In about a minute or less, show us why you are the ultimate townie, and you might win $1,000.
I go from party with them, Rhode Island.
It's Toucher and Rich's Ultimate Townie Contest.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. I'm looking for you, you two-faced rat.
You can win $1,000 to buy all the roast beef that you want.
How's the roast beef?
985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. It's so funny that Rhode Island is such a dump. Every time I'm there, it's like, I love it.
Well, you just go straight to Newport.
Right.
Yeah. That's why you feel that way.
Providence used to be a dump. It's not anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Providence is all right now. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, there's still parts of it that just like it's the land of time forgot.
Back in the day, if you went two blocks away from the Providence Civic Center, you were taking your life into your own hands.
And now it's actually 20 years ago.
Now it's nice.
Yeah. All right. The Ultimate Townie Contest tomorrow is brought to you by the Luxury Box Sports Bar in Malden, the North Shore's premier sports bar and entertainment location. Luxury Box with two X's .com. B-O-X-X.
So for the last week or so, we have been taking submissions for people who are going to compete for $1,000 first prize, $500 second prize in our Ultimate Townie Jeopardy, which will take place tomorrow. And after all of that time and bringing them up to the studio and interviewing them and getting listener reaction, we have gotten our three finalists who will indeed compete at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I am honored right now to finally announce who it is. Fred, would you mind Dan potting
yes,
that down?
That is a Dan thing, not me.
Dan, pot that down if you wouldn't mind. Our first contestant in tomorrow's Townie Jeopardy, Jobless Brandon.
It's about 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. I'm just hanging out in my room.
Buy his mom a new vibe.
Well, it's my mom's basement.
In between jobs, Brandon, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, things are going on in the next room.
Just watching some Brady highlights, getting ready for the upcoming season.
Just motorized.
If anyone's hiring, hit me up. @BrandoCommando on Twitter. Ultimate Townie, huh? And Fred said there's nothing good about Twitter.
Yeah, so he will be one of our contestants.
All right, well,
of our contestant
again,
number one.
The theory is he's in his mom's basement and there's just a giant gas-powered vibrator. Just,
I'll be with you in a minute. I'm just going to finish filming.
Just a pull motor. And he's like, I got to get out of this house. And by the way, in between jobs, Brandon, $1,000 is going to get him. He has a lot of plans with that $1,000.
Something he was very, very straightforward about. I could really use the money.
Yes. Dan just said if he's looking for work, why does he just go upstairs and help the guys who are making that noise?
A good point.
Well, you're assuming there's guys.
Either way, it's right. It could be like the tough enough video. A woman with a wrench.
Or it could be just a woman enjoying herself.
That it could be. All right, so that is our first contestant. And good, because that guy could probably use the money.
He thinks that that's going to, like, change his life.
He did say
it's
that.
Like, it's like $1,000 don't go a long way right now.
It probably doesn't, but maybe for him. Who knows?
Half a month's rent? All right, go ahead.
Our second contestant is a gentleman that whenever there are the weak, whenever they're the defenseless, he steps up and beats the living snot out of them. James the Equalizer.
What's the worst that you ever, like, beat up a guy who was a friend of yours?
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it? No. Well, you don't have to name the friend, but what was the injury?
He was out cold.
Oh, really? So you knocked out an actual friend of yours?
Yeah.
Now, was it a friendly fight, or did your friend do something bad that, like, really pissed you off?
No, yeah. He was just being stupid.
Okay. All right.
He had to be stopped.
So
he knocked him out.
So he was being stupid. Was he insulting you?
No. He was just being stupid.
Okay. All right.
He was not answering questions correctly.
He deserved it.
No, he was just acting out.
So okay.
I had to stop him from doing stupid stuff.
Get him in line.
Now, was it a fist? Was it a punch that knocked him out?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So
you have a Tinder serial killer today.
He's a gun.
Yes. He also informed us. I asked him if he had a gun, and he said no. And I asked him If he had a knife, and he said not on him, but he usually travels with a knife.
Right.
Like someone who used to work at the radio station, it was fascinating to me because he carried a huge plate, and I'm like, what are you going to do with that?
He was the guy that the video was submitted, and one of his friends was filming it, and he didn't realize that his friend was filming it, and halfway through it, the dude just rushes his friend and starts to hit him.
Yeah, that's that's a guy that could go sideways real quick. Like, if you go out with him and everything's like...
But he's noble. I mean, that's the thing.
He's sitting over there.
I think the guy's got a good heart. Like, from what we've heard, he, like, fights for the helpless. There was a...
Yeah, but I just have a feeling things can go sideways quick.
Honestly, somebody else runs a category. Like, it's not good.
I like that. He doesn't like bullies. So
this is going to be like when that dude with one tooth came in and didn't win the... What the hell was it? Oh, the worst in Brady contest.
That's right.
He just
stared at you.
He just stared at me.
Oh.
Just getting madder and madder.
So I'm rooting for at least second place and a metal detector.
No, I trust that he won't be violent tomorrow, but he just seems like the kind of guy that you would go out with, and then all of a sudden, without explanation, he would just start going nuts.
Is that going to fit?
Yeah, he's just like spazzing out.
Let's hope that doesn't happen tomorrow. And if it does, let's hope somebody's rolling tape. All right, so our final contestant, someone who showed up already somewhat of a viral sensation before she even came in, having a picture next to Rajon Rondo wearing a LeBron is a bitch t-shirt and Rondo pointing at it and smiling. This person became an internet phenomenon. Ladies and gentlemen, she has also had apparently many an athlete slip into her DMs.
As they say.
Mm-hmm. It's Celtic Sam.
Have you ever been in a fight, like an actual fist fight?
It was prom in senior year in high school.
What happened?
I don't know. She got upset that I went with this guy, and pulled her hair down on the ground and smacked her.
On the dance floor?
No, it was at Denny's, classy, you know.
Your after party was at Denny's?
No, we went there after to eat.
Okay, so at Denny's, what does she say to you when you're at Denny's?
She came up to our booth. This is so funny. Oh, my God. And she squirted ketchup on my white dress. That I was wearing.
Oh, so I got out.
She went to walk away, and I didn't let her. So I just grabbed her by the hair and smacked her up a little bit. And I was proud of myself because I'm a small human. It was the only fight I've ever been in, and I kind of kicked her ass.
So there you go. There are your three contestants for tomorrow's.
If you doubt her credibility as a townie, first of all, she doesn't understand the concept of an after party. She's like, no. I go, was your after party was at Denny's? And she goes, no, this was after the prom.
That's a good point.
I didn't think of that. So not only was that concept foreign to her, but she had her after party for prom, which I would imagine, like in Everett, you would have like a house party or something. Like everyone after prom does something where you get like loaded, even though I didn't drink at prom, but you get loaded and, you know, people, you're free from your parents and things like that. And they just go, like, we're going moons over Miami on the people. So that proves it to me right
there. Dude, there's nothing to be proven. She got in a fist fight with another girl at a Denny's in a dress.
And she also is attractive and has a sleeve tattoo just that's all Celtics.
Yeah, oh, and she's got in her apartment, like, the ultimate Celtics memorabilia collection. I mean, it's ridiculous. The amount of Celtics
I think
she has.
You could get away with having not one Celtics thing if you have a sleeve of just Celtics
just
tattoo.
All over her arm. She gets in with fights. She gets into fights with people on Twitter all the time about the Celtics. There are people already. She's got a big following, apparently, from years and years of doing that. But there you go. There's our three contestants.
Oh, by the way, Jay Stu and Sarge told me that Jay Stu and Sarge, that Sarge took her to a Celtics game.
Oh.
And
have you seen
a
picture?
Yeah, I have a feeling it was more that she was at the game and Sarge ran into her.
The photo had the ultimate hover hand.
Oh, really?
He went to go put his arm around her, and there's like probably about a good 4 inches between his hand and her shoulder.
Okay. Get your hands off her.
Get your damn hands off of her.
Hey. Hey, watch it. What are you doing? You came with me.
Hands off my dame. So we got in between jobs Brandon, Celtics superfan Sam, and James the Equalizer. All in studio tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
for the cash. $1,000 on the line in Ultimate Townie Jeopardy. I cannot wait.
Again, Ultimate Townie Jeopardy is brought to you by Town Luxury Lanes in Malden, 48. Luxury lanes with plush lounge-style seating and 15 billiard tables. Townie Luxury... Oh, sorry. Town... TownLineLuxuryLanes.com.
It might be Townie Luxury.
Oh, you can't blame me for that. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich.
Yes.
All right, the man's name is Joe Mangiello.
I think it's Mangiello.
Mangiello. He's a like a strong guy.
He's a hunk. He once hosted the NHL Awards.
He's married to Sofia Vergara, right?
Yep. Yes, he is. But in his home, he was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night, and he did 9 minutes on Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, my God.
In his home, he calls it the Gary Gygax Memorial Dungeon.
Oh, no.
Is that you making that up? Is this true?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Oh, he has a clothing line inspired by Dungeons & Dragons. So I want to...
Oh, yes.
I want to share some things they talked about.
Okay, all right.
And I want you to tell me if you can tell.
Because I wouldn't put it past Colbert that he was a bone roller.
Oh, yes. 9 minutes.
Oh, oh yeah. Okay. So he was into it, too. All right.
Yes, and so, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mind Flayer Head.
Mind Flayer.
He has a Gary Gygax Memorial Dungeon complete with a life-size mounted Mind Flayer head and a lovingly sculptured floating beholder model. Do you know what those are?
Even that, I don't know what that is. I'm not kidding you.
Okay. Michael...
Now I have to see. What is a Mind Flayer?
Michael Moorcock?
Michael Moorcock.
Sounds
like a...
Okay, I know. Moorcock. This is apparently related to Dungeons & Dragons.
That can't be... That's obviously...
No!
Is that not his nickname in Magic Mike?
He and Colbert also dropped some Michael Moorcock deep cuts into the conversation with Colbert proclaiming happily, this might alienate some audience members, but I don't care. Okay.
How do you spell that? He's an English writer and musician of science fiction and fantasy.
Yes, he is.
He wrote Elric at the End of Time, The Ancient Shadows of the Pale Rose, and The Twilight Man.
Okay.
But the Mind Flayer.
You're missing the good one, though.
I'm looking it up right now. And apparently the Mind Flayer goes by its more well-known nickname, the Illithid. Which is a monstrous humanoid aberration with psionic powers. In the typical Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting, they live in moist caverns and cities in the enormous Underdark.
Just this should make everyone proud that he got Sophia, whatever her name is. So apparently he plays in the L.A. hub of Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay, you know, from what I've heard, there's a decent amount of these, like, tough guy actors who are way into, like, role-playing Dungeons & Dragons stuff.
No, he says Vin Diesel. He says he's a poser.
Oh, he called out Vin Diesel.
Yes, and Taron Killam, who is whatever.
SNL.
Yeah, SNL and The Big Show are guys that come over and play Dungeons & Dragons with him.
The Big Show?
Yes, he comes over with Dungeons & Dragons.
He's a level 8 orc or possibly an ogre.
Okay, so...
Not whatever, a halfling.
Ginello's half-dragon character worships Tiamat?
Tiamat, yes.
Okay.
I think isn't he the Lord of the Darkness?
Tiamat,
yes. I think as seen in the movie Krull, 1981.
Tiamat is a supremely strong and powerful five-headed draconic goddess.
Yeah, okay, all right. I do know the Tiamat. See, you have to understand, everything I know about Dungeons & Dragons came from going into my older brother's rooms when I wasn't supposed to and busting out their giant book collection of Dungeon Master's Guides and Fiend Folios. I remember one time I had to, like, draw something for something from home. And this is funny. I apparently did this twice. Like, it was like when I was in first grade, second grade. One year I drew a picture of a pack of smokes, Vantage cigarettes, and I turned that in. And the other one I drew like a demon from the front of the Dungeon Master's Guide. They're like, all right, demons and smokes. That's how things roll at the Shirtley household.
So your brothers shared a room.
Yeah.
And it was adorned with Dungeons & Dragons paraphernalia?
All over the place, dude. I would play with their 48-sided die. I would play with it. And you would open up these books. Like,
like the Fiend Folio had a man Caius on the cover with, who was holding an evil flame. Oh, it was the flaming sword of Eldrin in his hand, which I think you had to be like, you had to be like a level 8 something orc. I'm telling you, man, it was the best sitting in on their games because I thought they were the coolest people on the planet. You know, you think your older brothers are like the coolest.
Yeah, sure.
If you got like older siblings, and then you look back like, this was the nerdiest group of people I could possibly imagine.
So when they
around.
Were like playing Dungeons & Dragons, you were like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yes, beware the Alhoon. Like, there was this one guy. There was this one guy in the neighborhood. Like, they were, like, in, like, 6th and 7th grade, but there was one guy who's like, a 9th grader, and he's a fat dude, who would show up.
No.
I'm not kidding you. He was already balding in 9th grade. And he would sit there, and he would, like, while he would give them the scenario, it would be like, you have entered the dungeon of sarcophagus, and inside of said dungeon, you are being attacked by a green hobgoblin of ne'er-do-wells. And like he would sit there and go, what shall you do? What shall you do?
Oh.
And he would stroke his beard. Like he had like a 9th grade beard. You know those guys? Like,
he had a ninth grade
beard.
That means there's something wrong with you.
And he would sit there like, you didn't imagine this scenario happening.
Yeah, you'll see like some gump and they'll have like scattered hairs on their face.
Just like all over the place.
Yes.
Beware the vampiric illithids approached.
So your brothers would have these games.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I'm the dungeon master...
You just can make... I was about to swear. You just make stuff up. You just would just make up random things, random scenarios. And from, like, the amount of, like, hit points or something you've collected, you would just... You have to roll a number 1 through 4 on this 48-sided die or you're dead.
So I just make up stuff.
Oh, yeah. The Dungeon Master just made stuff up. And you would just have to do, you know, be it. So if you pissed him off and didn't give him maybe like a couple extra Doritos,
you were screwed.
You were effed, yes. You would be thrown into the pit of sarcophagus.
If you want to have a laugh, go on YouTube and look at Dungeons & Dragons Satanism. Because it's like in 1985 and it's this like 2020 thing. And they're exploring if it's satanic. And there's all these like worried mothers. And they go to, like, one of the games, and it's the dorkiest dudes in the world. And you're like, what are you afraid of them doing? Like at least they're not going to get a venereal disease. I mean, you got a lot going for you.
Right, they're not getting anyone pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let them sit in the basement and play, for God's sakes. I got to worry about something. Like, the kids are nice. They're a nice group of kids. They come over. They stay in the basement. I don't have to worry about them. No, I got to turn it into a Satanism thing.
Fred, years ago, my God, it might have been 15 years ago you and I did this. This is before we even worked together and did a show. Fred and I went to a Dungeons & Dragons convention.
Yes.
And dressed as wizards. And sat down randomly at one of the games and just started casting spells on everyone until they escorted us out.
They had no patience. For us wizards. Like, they know you're going to make fun of them.
We weren't even, no, we were in on the game.
No, I know, but, I mean, they immediately are just like, oh.
At one point, Fred just stopped talking.
I did.
Fred just, like, shut down because he didn't know what else to say. He'd use the two words that he knew for Dungeons & Dragons.
Two Dungeons & Dragons words. And it was just this thing, like, they were just like, all right, dude. You know, we've been picked on for this our entire lives. Now we're adults. Like, come on.
I was just...
Can you give me 5 minutes apiece?
I was just a little aggressive in my spell casting. One guy was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm magically going to make your badge disappear. And,
yeah, that's right. That is true.
They escorted me out of my badge.
They got a lot of one-liners from... Alex, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
I was just calling about to see if you guys had ever seen the show Harmon Quest.
No.
It's an animated show with Dan Harmon, the dude who created Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
But he brings on these guys, and they play sort of like a live version of Dungeons & Dragons with, like, celebrities. Some of the people are from Silicon Valley, and they just literally add animation to it after. I think they, like, pre-record, obviously, everything. They act it out live on stage. Let me go ahead and add animation to it after. It's awesome.
All right, so Harmon Quest is what it's called. Yeah. It's
celebrities. You gotta check it out. You die laughing.
Okay, I need to see. Foot fetishes and Dungeons & Dragons.
Those are the two things I'm absolutely fascinated by.
Okay, well, I
don't understand the concept of Dungeons & Dragons. I don't understand how you can be the Dungeons & Dragons guy. I'm fascinated that this dude who's married to the pretty lady is all into Dungeons & Dragons. I just don't understand it as much as I don't understand the foot fetish, but I do find both delightful. That you can just be the dungeon master and just go, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many dragons are around?
Dungeon Master Jim.
Dungeon Master Jim was the best.
Dungeon Master Jim would come in and tell us of all the games going on about town. Well, I just had to test you, Rich. I wanted to let you know that there were others.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that we now know then.
Magic the Blathering!
They have some actors you've heard of on Harmon Quest.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion, for one. Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
Rob Kadri.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen, right? Parks and Recreation, is that right?
Elizabeth Olsen is in the Avengers movies.
Okay.
That's at Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's sister.
Yeah. Patton Oswalt.
That's a surprise.
Really? Because I thought they were aberration creatures who love precious metals and gemstones.
So,
the best is when Dungeon Master Jim got weird about chicks.
Oh, yeah. Hail to the new flesh!
And Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah, that's a big surprise, too.
Yeah, there you go.
So if you work for Silicon Valley, you're basically playing Dungeons & Dragons. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
I read a really good article yesterday. I guess it was all based on an interview that Chris Mannix, we obviously have on the show a lot, did with Brad Stevens. And it's funny because it kind of puts in perspective how this is the first year that Brad Stevens has had actual, real, lofty expectations. Like now it's like, if you don't make it to the finals, then this year seems like a failure. Wouldn't you agree that LeBron out, not even the Eastern Conference Finals, if you don't make it to the finals, this year has been considered a failure. Now, if you looked at the over-unders as far as win totals that Vegas just released, the Celtics right now have the second highest win total, and they also have the second best chances of winning a championship. That's because most everyone believes that in the East, there's really no one that can match up against the Celtics. Now, that's obviously going to be something that is somewhat intimidating, but they asked Brad Stevens, you know, how do you handle those type of expectations? And, you know, it's funny because I know a lot of coaches say this, but the way that he phrased it was like, you know, all I can take care of is what's happening each day and that each day we get better the day before. And I can totally understand. And I believe it, that that's truly the way that he looks at things. It's like, I just hope that the next day is better than the one before it. And I'm not even thinking about the expectations, but man, can you imagine what a failure it's going to be now. For the first time, Brad Stevens is not a he-can-do-no-wrong type of guy.
Right.
If you don't go all the way to at least the finals, it's a disappointment this season, as long as everyone stays healthy. But even if like one guy gets hurt, you still should be the best in the East.
No, there's no excuse to not make the finals.
Considering what they did with the two major pieces hurt last year,
right.
If you lose Hayward or Irving, but have the other one,
you still should be able to do it.
And there's no one to really challenge you. So
no, it sure as hell doesn't seem like it. And what's interesting, too, is that, you know, people are trying to discuss whether or not LeBron James has a better team with the Lakers than he did with the Cavaliers. And I say, no, the Cavaliers were a better team, which once again makes it all the more head scratching that he would go over there and do that. But Brad Stevens was asked on Mannix's podcast about the status of Gordon Hayward. And once again, we're hearing that he's, you know, we've seen videos of him playing, not, you know, in a 5-on-5 situation, but here was an update on him.
Gordon does a pretty good job of keeping everybody updated on his blog. And where is he? And where do you see him as we approach training camp?
Yeah, we had one of our trainers out there last week who said he looks great. Danny was out there for a couple of days as well. So they say that he's looking great, progressing well, and should be good to go. You know, I think he and Kyrie will both be fully cleared by the time training camp starts, and probably well before.
Are you anticipating kind of easing him back into the mix? I mean, we haven't seen him play in 5-on-5 yet. As we sit here in early August, are you guessing that he will have to be kind of eased back into playing again?
Well, I think there's a degree of patience anytime you're coming back from a significant injury where you miss significant time. And it's not just about the healing of the injury. It's about the, you know, getting back on the court in a 5-on-5 scenario.
When does preseason start, John?
In late October.
What's the matter to John?
No, preseason. Like when they're together, like, you know, like when they're going to be, yeah, like training camp. Like, when's
training? They haven't announced the official beginning of training camp.
Because
yet.
What we do know is that they are going to be playing on Christmas against the Sixers, right?
Right. Yes.
See, I thought I had heard that they were also going to play the Sixers on opening day.
That was proposed as a sure bet. It made a lot of sense, type of thing, but it hasn't been confirmed. The NBA is supposed to announce all of that at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The one thing we do know is there are going to be 5 Christmas Day games. LeBron and the Lakers are going to go to Golden State. The Celtics are going to play Philadelphia at the Garden, at TD Garden on Christmas
Day.
The
one thing that I've heard.
Are you going to go?
No, I'll probably be out of town.
Oh, seems like you would go.
Maybe I'll be calling it.
I could be too. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then I will be here.
That could be the case.
Yeah. If what's his face takes the day off, you're gonna skip on Christmas to go to the Garden?
I will. Yes.
You only get so many Christmases with your children.
Yeah, but the game's
only
not going to be
so many games. Yeah. You know, with my children.
The game could be at noon.
Dude, your kids get up at like 6 on Christmas morning.
I don't know, but it's a day of family.
It is.
I don't know. Around like 10 o'clock, you kind of want to get away from family.
I'm just going to say, 4 hours, gifts, gone.
Right. It's like 4 hours, and then everything starts to get obnoxious. Yeah. You're like, all right, I wouldn't mind getting out of the house.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you, if you were out of town, you're not going to go out of town.
Or I'll come back Christmas Eve for the one day and then fly back to Philadelphia. We'll probably be in Philadelphia over Christmas.
So you would miss Christmas?
I'd miss a good portion of it, yes. If Sean said, I can't do Christmas Day, I would be up here to call the game.
And you would miss Christmas morning?
I would miss Christmas
what
morning.
What a dedicated Celtics fan. How about that?
Well, no, he's calling the game on the radio.
What a dad.
I guarantee you that happens. I guarantee you that happens.
Granny had a Christmas Day game yesterday, last season, and did it.
Were you pissed?
No, I wasn't pissed.
So your family could be in Philadelphia.
They will be in Philadelphia.
Okay, and they wouldn't stay back for you to celebrate Christmas with them?
No, we'd go down like 3 days beforehand, probably.
Okay,
something like that.
In all honesty, would your family, or would your wife be ticked?
No, because she understands.
Okay.
It seems to me that, you know, you got to prioritize things in life. There's only so many Christmases with your kids.
True. That's true.
I mean, you could call any old Celtics game. What if Brian had a Christmas Day game?
Brian had a Christmas Day game? Well, there's no danger of that, but I don't think so. I think if you look at the college basketball schedule, short of like UCLA against Notre Dame, there are not many Christmas Day games.
All right. Well, it would be bad if Notre Dame played that game, considering
that's a good point. UCLA against somebody else.
Yeah. All right.
And hit it.
Yeah.
You're the headline.
Bang.